I'm known for tackling the tough topics, and I'm not going to stop today. I will tackle the tough topic, and here's one very sensitive to many people, including me, and it's why babies aren't believers. I'm not even asking the question, are babies believers? Because the question is absurd. How can a baby be a believer? A baby doesn't even realize it's been born. It doesn't understand English yet. Doesn't understand concepts, thoughts, language. I have a vested interest in this question, of course, which isn't a question. I'm delivering it to you as a statement. My son just had a son, and I'm the father of three sons. I dealt with this issue when my sons were small. And everybody wants to know that if the snatching away occurs and they have a baby, will that baby be snatched away with the parents? The first assumption is that God never splits up families. And there's a lot of emotional arguments that go into this topic, as you can well imagine. It says, well, God just wouldn't split up families. Well, he does it all the time in death. Death splits up families, does it not? And doesn't Jesus Christ say that he holds the keys of death and the unseen? So death separates families all the time. I don't like it. I'm just delivering to you the facts. And before I get too far into this, I will say that you have to remember this. This will help you. God loves your children more than you do. You know, I mean, who do you think you are as a parent? Think that you love your kids more than God does. You know what's best for them. And of course, you're going to do everything in your power to protect them. But when it comes to aeonian life, when it comes to salvation, God's got a handle on it. Doesn't mean you sit back and don't teach your kids. You do teach your kids the evangel. Because I'm going to tell you again how the receipt of the evangel comes. But we're not talking about kids. We're talking about babies. We're talking about infants. We're talking about a one-day-old or a two-day-old, a one-week-old. We're talking about a human being that just came out of the womb and is trying to get used to fluorescent lighting, you know? So that's what we're talking about here. And a principle you will have to keep in mind is that, and this causes people to argue on this topic. Some people will argue, it's like, well, God's gonna save a baby, whether that baby is a believer or not. This false idea is that salvation is based on opportunity. You have to give everyone an opportunity to believe. But no, salvation is not based on opportunity. It's not. Salvation is based on whether God designates one beforehand to believe or not. Now, I do have to make this careful distinction, and I will make it carefully. Every single baby that is born is saved from sin, because the baby is in Adam. As in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. And we know from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, one died for the sake of all, consequently all died. And whoever has died has been justified. So Jesus Christ is a savior of all humanity. So a baby at conception is automatically saved, because the baby is in Adam, thus the baby will also be in Christ. So the question here, the belief of the context, that babies can't be believers, they can't. But as we know, eternal life with God is not based on any human act, not even belief, because Jesus saves sinners and therefore unbelievers. So what is in question here is aeonian life. And for those unfamiliar with the term, this is a proper translation of a word that has been mistakenly translated eternal in the common English versions. The word is aeonion in the Greek. It means aeonian or age lasting. The life we are talking about is a life that gets into God and into Christ early. It's a special life, above and beyond the general salvation that all humanity will experience at the consummation of the ages or the eons. We're talking about a special life. This is the life spoken of by Jesus and by every New Testament writer, including Paul, of course. The question is aeonian life. Do you have aeonian life? This is what we're not sure about, because we don't know who God has appointed to enjoy this special kind of life. We don't know. We just herald the word. And if there, then here's a good verse for you. When Paul heralded in Acts chapter 13, on hearing this, the nations rejoiced and glorified the word of the Lord, and they believe whoever were set for life aeonian. So whoever is set for life aeonian, whoever God has designated beforehand, in other words, for life aeonian, aeonian life, this is a properly translated scripture, will believe. But again, babies can't believe anything. They can't be presented with the evangel. And there is an order to things in the presentation of the evangel. I'm in Romans 10, verse 13. For everyone, whoever should be invoking the name of the Lord shall be being saved. Again, this is aeonian life. This is a special life. This is not general salvation. Everybody's got that. A baby can be born and live for 1 hour and it's still saved for eternity. But is it a member of the body of Christ? No, how can it be? Membership in the body of Christ is above and beyond the general salvation. That has to do with believing certain facts about Jesus Christ. Because that life, that special life, aeonian life, it's a personal faith. You can't ride on anyone's coattails. And God will give you the faith. But when I say you have to believe in the message, that's true relatively, but absolutely it's God that has to give you the faith. But God can't give a baby faith. I suppose God could give a baby faith, but faith has to, here we go. Let's just keep going in Romans chapter 10. How then should they be invoking one in whom they do not believe? Yet how should they be believing one of whom they do not hear? And how should they be hearing apart from one heralding? Can I talk to you later? I'm right in the middle of making a show. All right, thanks. Yet how should they be hearing apart from one heralding? Again, yet how should they be heralding if ever they should not be commissioned? So tell me, how can a baby do any of these things? They can hear, yes, but they can't make sense of a message. They can't distinguish the gospel of the circumcision between the gospel of the uncircumcision. They don't even know what a gospel is. They've never heard of Jesus Christ. And you can look at the baby and talk to the baby and say, Jesus Christ is your Savior. Do you believe that? And the baby will just look at you and go, they can't believe it. And there's no other way to be saved for aeonian life, there's no other way to become a member of the body of Christ except to believe this message. Now, Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, I am making known to you, brethren, the evangel which I bring to you, which also you accepted, in which also you stand, through which you are saved, if you are retaining what I said and bringing the evangel to you, through which you are saved. Through what? The acceptance of it. And, of course, this doesn't change the fact that the acceptance of the evangel is a gift of God, but it does come from hearing. Faith comes from hearing and understanding. The baby has no understanding. Now, the baby understands one thing. I want mommy's breast. Yes. I have to take a giant shit in my diapers. This is what the baby thinks. This is its whole world. It knows nothing about Jesus Christ. Now, there's an emotional teaching that I have dealt with in the past. It's a false teaching that in a family, if a husband or wife is a believer, then that believer's spouse is automatically saved and their children are automatically saved. No, this is not true. Belief for aeonian life is a personal faith between a person and Jesus Christ. Faith is the channel God uses. And we just went through the whole faith comes by hearing, hearing by a declaration, declaration by a herald. The herald must be appointed. Acceptance through which you believe. So This is all very important, and it's personal. You cannot ride to heaven on someone else's coattails. There's no such thing as borrowed faith. This is the passage that people screw up. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 12, if any brother has an unbelieving wife and she approves of making a home with him, let him not leave her. And a wife who has an unbelieving husband and he approves of making a home with her, let her not leave her husband. For the unbelieving husband is hallowed by the wife. What does this mean? Some people think it means salvation. No, otherwise the word would be saved, but it's not. For the unbelieving husband is hallowed, not saved, and the unbelieving wife is hallowed by the brother. Else, consequently, your children are unclean, yet now they are holy. Oh, now the children are holy. So by that, people get the idea, well, since they're holy, then they're saved. Well, this is not true, because look what Paul says later. Yet if the unbeliever is separating, let him separate. A brother or sister is not enslaved in such a case. God has called us to peace. And God's telling the believing husband, stay with your unbelieving wife. Apparently, let's say both people got into this relationship, both being unbelievers. Because you're really not supposed to join yourself with an unbeliever consciously if you're a believer. So let's say two people, a man and a woman, go into a marriage as unbelievers. One becomes a believer and the other one just doesn't get it. Like, don't you get this? And they're just, no. They have no spiritual intuition, no spiritual sensitivity. They have not enough dose of the Spirit of God to be believers. So what are you supposed to do? This is why Paul's bringing this teaching up, because in the old covenant with Israel, they were supposed to put away the unbeliever. They were not supposed to have any foreigners in their camp. Look up Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 23 through 30. It was clear that you were supposed to put members of the other nations outside, and people were supposed to put away their own spouses if they were not of Israel's stock. And some people might have thought, among the nations, having heard of this thing in Israel, having somewhat being acquainted with the law, Paul probably fielded this issue. Paul, what do I do? My wife's not a believer. Back in the old days, apparently you guys used to just send them away. Is that what I should do? No. This is an era of grace. So you keep that one in your family. And then Paul says the reason is, for what are you aware, O wife? Will you be saving your husband? Or what are you aware, O husband? Will you be saving your wife? In other words, you might be saving. You might, over time, if you stay with this person, you might save them. You might bring them, relatively speaking, of course, you might bring them the news of the evangel and they will be saved. So in that context, the what is in view is salvation. So when Paul says that people are holy, the husband is holy, sanctified by the believing wife, and the children are holy, that doesn't mean salvation, because salvation comes up later. What does it mean? It means that they're not profane. They're not to be put away. The children are not illegitimate. How's it going? Nice to see you. Yep. The children are not. I know it, right? Oh yeah, I'm making a show. Yeah. All right. And this was way different from the way things were in early dealings. And this is way different than the way things were in the old Israelite days. This is why this issue comes up. So if in the old days, if a Jew married a woman of the nations, like an Amalekite or a Jebusite or a Perizzite, then those children would be considered unclean. They would be considered illegitimate. They were profane because they were the result, the product of a profane union. That has changed because this is an era of grace. So no, you stay with the unbeliever. And the children are accepted by God. They're not cast out. In that sense, they're holy. It doesn't mean that they're automatically saved. No one is automatically saved. for aeonian life. Everyone's automatically saved for eternal life. Everyone's automatically saved simply by being born into the Adamic race. We're talking about aeonian life. We're talking about coming into God early. We're talking about being a member of the body of Christ. Now, the first objection to this would probably be, that's not fair, because, horror of horrors, God forbid, what if the baby dies at 6 months of age, or dies at birth? Is that baby in the body of Christ because the parents were in the body of Christ? No, I just explained all of that. To be in the body of Christ, one must accept. God gives the faith to accept a message, to accept a particular message, and a one-day-old baby can't do it. Nobody gets into the body of Christ on another's coattails. This verse that I read you from 1 Corinthians 7, verses 14 through 17, this does not get anyone in on another person's coattails, either a husband or a wife or children. But they're all accepted by God in the sense that they're not caught, tossed out of the house like they were in the old days. And the objection comes up, that's just not fair. It's just not fair. They didn't get an opportunity to believe. Here's the truth you're going to take away with you today. Salvation has nothing to do with getting an opportunity. Because let me ask you this, what is the difference between a six-month-old who does not believe and can't believe because they don't have the capacity to hear and to heed Paul's evangel? What's the difference between that individual and a 50-year-old CEO of a corporation who doesn't believe either? I'd rather ask you, what's the common denominator there? They don't believe the evangel. One can't believe, the baby can't believe, doesn't have the capacity, and the other one can't believe either. That's the other common denominator. Well, the baby can't believe, it doesn't have the faculties yet. Same with the 50-year-old CEO. He doesn't have the faculties yet. So what's the difference? They're both unbelievers. One's an unbeliever just because, couldn't hear or heed the message, and the other's an unbeliever because, he couldn't hear or heed the message. You can say, the guy got an opportunity. The guy, the 50-year-old guy, he got opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. Yeah, it'll probably go worse for him at the Great White Throne because perhaps he was presented with the evangel. But it's possible that guy was never presented with the truth, same as the baby. The baby's not presented with the truth. It might be, you can present the truth to it, but it's not going to understand it. Same thing with the guy. You can present the truth to him, he's not going to understand it. So it's not a matter of giving someone time. It'll go harder on the guy if he got it, if he heard it and rejected it. The baby will have an excuse. The baby's at the Great White Throne, and the baby goes, I was shitting my diapers. I couldn't even do nothing. I know. God will say, I know. But you weren't appointed to aeonian life. If someone is appointed to aeonian life, they will live long enough to hear and heed the message. That's the thing. If you are appointed, you will hear and heed the message. It's as simple as that. You will. So if a baby dies at 1 day old, that baby was not designated beforehand for membership in the body of Christ. That's not fair. Why is that any less fair than the 50-year-old guy who was not designated to be a member of the body of Christ, designated beforehand, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1? How's that any more unfair? You might say, it's both unfair, because we know that God purposely does not give some people faith. So the baby dies at 1 day old, this guy dies at age 90, neither one of them were designated beforehand. If the baby had been designated beforehand, it would have lived long enough to receive the message and responded to it and said, I believe, even at age 2 or age 1.5. If the 50-year-old businessman had been appointed to aeonian life, he would have responded to the message. The only difference in his case is I don't have to say he would have lived long enough to hear the message, because that's irrelevant in his case. So teach your kids the gospel of Paul as soon as you can. Waylon's telling me that his grandson at age 2 is already reading words. He's a smart kid. As soon as they can hear it, give it to them. Don't send them to church. You're making it tougher. Because they're the message of the evangel, of the death for sin and the entombment and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It will get derailed there. It will get, you know, my teaching on that. It will be disrupted. The truth will be disrupted by the many traditions and the many lies that occur in church. So, hey, I dealt with this. I'm not sitting here from on high, from somebody who's never touched by this. My son just had a beautiful son who's 2 weeks old or 1 week old. And so, do I pray that that child is a member of the body of Christ? Of course I do. I would love it. But I had a mother who was not a member of the body of Christ. Did I pray for her to be a member of the body of Christ? Yes. Was she? No. She never quit being a Catholic. She never got the truth. So, I can pray and I can want it, but God, only God knows who's appointed beforehand. And whoever is appointed beforehand will hear the message and accept the message. They will receive the message. They will hear a true message. They will hear a pure message, not of lies, not of human tradition, but of God. They will hear Paul's gospel and they will respond. A baby can't do it. Herald the gospel to your children. Read them the scriptures. Read them the letters of Paul. And if they're appointed to aeonian life, they will believe.